Well, good morning to you all. It's lovely to be with you, lovely to see you all. I don't know about you, I've already had three blessings this morning from being here. One is just to be with you in your company, and that's great, and to chat to one or two of you. To share in communion, which is a wonderful privilege and blessing, and to learn a new song. And for all three of those, I will be grateful. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Tim Ellis, and I bring greetings from your brothers and sisters in the Lord in Ferny Hill Evangelical Church, which is in the south of Edinburgh. And I'd like to speak to you today about Jesus' words in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 9. Very familiar words, "I am the door." But we're going to read the first 18 verses of chapter 10 of John to provide some context. And I understand that this is a very well-known passage. We know this passage well, don't we? But I'd like to ask you this morning not to let the familiarity of it get in the way. This is God's word. It's the most important part of the service. It's given in the power of the Holy Spirit, God's word, always living, always fresh. So listen to what God may be saying to you from it today. The children's song and the song that we sang at the start, I think, is really pertinent here. "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." As we read the passage, let's just have that thought in our mind, that our eyes of our heart might be opened. So John 10, if you've got a Bible, I'll just read it to you. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Let's just pray before we speak. Father God, we want to come to you and again to pray that you will open the eyes of our hearts as we listen to your word come to us. Strengthen us, we pray, to speak and to listen, not to me, but to you and to your Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit be present and operative in our time together, we pray. We commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So if I ask you to think of a door, just a door, I wonder what image comes into your mind. And if I were then to ask you to think about a famous door, which one would come to your mind? Hopefully, we will be able to see a door. There we go. Sorry? Okay, that's fine. So there's quite a few clicks in. So this is a picture of one of the most famous doors in the world, number 10 Downing Street. It's the official residence of the Prime Minister. It's made of reinforced steel. It's got a door on the inside only. You cannot open it from the outside. We very occasionally get a peek inside. And here's the next one. It's much less famous cousin Number 6, Charlotte Square. It's the official residence of the First Minister of Scotland when she's in Edinburgh. It's so much less famous that even I've managed to get through it on several occasions. And then the incredibly heavy bronze doors of St Andrew's House in Edinburgh. And interestingly, for the seat of government, with an image of Jesus as well as a number of saints and the inscription, "I will make you fishers of men," on the handles. And all of these doors exude weight and heaviness and officialness, heavy officialdom, don't they? But doors come in all shapes and circumstances. Take these very creative one, which for some of you might conjure up pictures of images of hobbits or Middle Earth. Or these very ordinary ones, very straightforward. Or these ones, which are colourful and come from Dublin. Or these splendid ones from the Chrysler Building in America, or the King's Palace in Morocco. Or these ones, which are the Jubilee doors of St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. They're only opened once every 25 years by the Pope. The point I'm trying to make here is that when we talk about a door, it conjures up both an image and a set of references and things that we want to think about. And so when Jesus here talks about being the door, it would have triggered an instinctive reaction or set of thoughts in his hearers. Probably an image in their minds, something like the picture of a sheepfold. And so the word picture that Jesus draws here at the start of chapter 10 is of a courtyard or a pen with a doorkeeper hired to look after the small flocks of sheep of various families. They've all brought them together at night. Each flock would have been small enough for the sheep to be known individually, even to have their own name. And while the various shepherds would have come and taken their sheep in and out through the door, anyone wanting to steal or kill a sheep would have had to climb in over the wall. The door, guarded by the doorkeeper, was the only proper way in. And so in this passage, Jesus is drawing a contrast between the Pharisees on the one hand and himself on the other. Effectively, he's accusing the Pharisees here of being like thieves and robbers, of failing to look after the flock. By contrast, Jesus says, he didn't come to kill or destroy, but to bring life, and to bring abundant life, full life at that. But the Pharisees either couldn't or didn't want to understand what Jesus was saying, and we can see that in verse 6. He says, there, doesn't he? They did not understand what he was saying to them. So he re-emphasizes his point, and he gives a second illustration, saying plainly, with emphasis, "Very truly I tell you, I am the door for the sheep." He's not only the shepherd doorkeeper, but also the door. You can see in this picture, not very clearly, but up on the top right, that the sheep pen would probably not have had a physical door, but the gatekeeper would have stayed himself in the doorway of the pen. He would, in effect, have himself become the gate or door of the sheep pen. And incidentally, it might just be worth saying at this point that some translators say gate and others say door. While either is fine, I'm not going to get hung up on that. I'll mostly just use door from now on. So maybe it's an obvious question to you, but what does the door actually do? Why do we have doors? Well, as we thought about it earlier, doors can be plain, they can be fancy, they can be ordinary, they can be famous, they can be old, they can be new, but they all have the same basic functions, don't they? A door is there to keep things in, to keep things secure, to keep things together, whether that's sheep, whether it's people, whether it's belongings, whatever. And it's there to keep out threats or unwelcome contacts, or keep out weather or bad people or marauding animals. But more fundamentally, a door is there to control and enable access. It makes access possible in a controlled and managed way. So when Jesus says here in chapter 10 and verse 9 that he is the door, he's making the point that he personally is the proper way to have access. Jesus personally is the only way to have access. But you might say, access to what? I don't know about you, some of you may be familiar with it. When I was a child, I often heard reference in the church I was growing up in to an evangelical tract entitled Safety, Certainty and Enjoyment. It was written by George Cutting in the late 1800s, one of the more famous Brethren tracts. And as I've been looking at verse 9 of chapter 10 this week, I've been really strongly reminded of it, or at least of its title. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. That's safety. They will come in and go out. That's certainty. And they will find pasture. And that is enjoyment. So let's just unpack that a little bit more and see what Jesus is saying that he gives us access to. So first of all, Jesus says, whoever enters through me will be saved. This is the starting point for all of us. And we thought a bit about that already as part of our communion service. As we come to Jesus and as we come in through him, we come into a place of safety and salvation. Safety from our sins, from our weaknesses, from our failings, from our evil nature. Salvation from the dreadful consequences of those things, from guilt, from shame, from punishment, from the wrath of a holy and sin-hating God. We come to protection and shelter from the ruinous and devouring power of Satan, from the sting of death. We come into safety and salvation that is complete and absolute and cannot be breached by any power in the universe. Jesus' words here are clear and absolute. Whoever enters through Jesus, the door will be saved. And that's great. And it's reinforced by the second point here, which is that Jesus says he is the way to come in and to go out. And that means, I think, that he is the way of liberty and freedom, and also of assurance, certainty that the way will not be closed off. As we come to Jesus by faith, and as we come accept the grace of God that's towards us, we not only find that we have a wonderful and complete and absolute salvation, but we also have the privilege of complete freedom of access, and it cannot be taken away from us or denied us. And that's wonderful. You may remember that to the church in Philadelphia in Revelation, Jesus says, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." I want to really emphasize this. If Jesus is the door, if we come in through Jesus, there is no power that can overcome him, as we'll see shortly. He is the absolute assurance of freedom to both go in and come out. If we go to the next slide. So, thirdly, what do we go into? Of course, we go into the sheepfold. That's what Jesus is saying here. But what's that mean? What does it mean to go into the sheepfold? For me, as I've been looking at this week, this has been really, truly wonderful, truly blessed to me, that we go into the innermost sanctuary and into complete blessing. Let me say that again. We go into the innermost sanctuary and into complete blessing. We find that we have access to God himself and to a relationship with him where he is our Father. We come to a place prepared for us by Jesus. We discover that we've been made to sit down in heavenly realms in Christ, as Ephesians put it. And as Hebrews 12 puts it, we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. We've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. We've come into the presence of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. That's what Jesus means when he says, "You can come in through me." There's no need to come by a priest or mediator. We don't need to pay a fee or offer a sacrifice. Isn't it wonderful that we have direct and immediate access to the Emperor of the universe at any time of the day or night through Christ, the door of the sheep? And fourthly, we not only go in, but we go out in service and ministry. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16 that a wide door for effective ministry had opened to him. So I'd like to suggest to you this morning that we go out from the sheepfold in service. And as we go out, we are scented with the blessings of having enjoyed the presence of God, carrying out the gospel to all men, women, and children, demonstrating the love of God, proclaiming the grace of God revealed and expressed in Christ. It's mainly maybe a homely thought, but as you go to work, or as you meet your friends, or as you chat to your neighbours, or serve your brothers and sisters in Christ, do I, as it were, carry the scent of the sheepfold with me? And I don't mean the pungent, unpleasant smell of dirt or anything like that, but the clean, invigorating, energising incense that comes from prayer, from God's word, from the knowledge and experience of having spent time with Jesus. Do you go out into the world the same way and with the same spirit as the Good Shepherd? And finally, but not at all least, Christ the door gives us access to enjoyment, to pasture. That is, the places where we can feed like sheep. We find life in him. We find food. We find peace. We find blessing. We find delight. In the words of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." What does that look like for you? Do you genuinely, consistently enjoy God? It's a challenge to me as I say that. Do you regularly make time to be in his presence, to contemplate his glory, his greatness, to listen to his words, to sing his praises? Do you enjoy him in the routine of your life as well as on a Sunday morning? We can do that. That is what he offers us. And we find pasture not only as individuals, but as a company. That's why church is so important, isn't it? As we come in through the door, we join all of Christ's other sheep. We find that we are all one in Christ Jesus, that we're united in the power of one Holy Spirit. And all of this, safety, certainty, enjoyment, we have through Christ personally. Go to the next slide. He personally is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me, he tells his disciples. And Hebrews 10 tells us, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. That is his body." He is the door, the way through the curtain, and we enjoy that liberty and access into the most holy place. But I wonder for myself whether sometimes I take that for granted. That cost Jesus his life. We've thought about that already this morning as part of communion. He had to shed his blood for us. He took upon himself the penalty that we should have paid for our sins. He became sin for us. And then in this last passage that we read in John 10, Jesus alludes to that. He refers to himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep in verse 11. I want you to notice that. He lays down his life. In verse 18, he says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." It was his own sovereign and voluntary act and reflects the fact that not only was he the perfect, sinless human sacrifice, but also that he was and always remained God. In coming into this world, he did not cease to be what he was because of what he became. In taking on the form of humanity, he did not give up his deity. But it is also true at the same time, and this is one of the wonders of Christianity, isn't it, that Jesus laid down his life at the command of the Father, as it says at the end of verse 18. Although he never relinquished his deity, he took on that subordinate role as the perfect, obedient Son of God. And in that perfect, sinless humanity, he responds to the command of his Father. "Not my will, but yours be done," he says, as he contemplates his imminent death on the cross, as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yet, the door is opened for us not only by the death of Jesus, but also by his resurrection. And we should not lose sight of that either. Jesus could not be held by death, but he has the authority to take his life again. And it's because he lives in the power of an indestructible life, as Hebrews 7 puts it, an indestructible life, that we have total assurance, the certainty of salvation, of blessing, of eternal life, of the enjoyment of the presence of God himself, beyond the limitations or challenges of physicality, of time, of death, any other power in the universe. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then I love that phrase in verse 17. For this reason, the Father loves me. The death and resurrection of Jesus calls out the expressed and perfect love of God the Father. Friends, if the work of Jesus is so delightful to God himself, how can we not also be caught up in worshipful appreciation too? Now, in the light of all that, it might seem almost unnecessary to address the issue of whether there are other doors or other ways to God. But sadly, I think we do have to. So let us be completely clear. There are no other doors, no other routes to God. Jesus is available to everyone. As he says in verse 16, he has other sheep, not of this fold. The door of the sheep is available not just to Jews and Jewish sheep, but for Gentile sheep too, for you and me. Regardless of background, regardless of our status, regardless of any characteristic, any of us can come in through Jesus the door. But while the door might be open to everybody, we need to make sure that it is that door, and only that door, that we go in by. It's only the narrow door and the narrow path that lead to life. No other religions, no other beliefs, no other practices, not self-action, not good works, not any idols, not clean living, not greater intellect or status than anyone else, not moral or ethical superiority, not even church attendance, not baptism, not even regular participation in communion or the Lord's Supper, not sacrificing ourselves in missionary or outreach activity, always doing good works. These are all good things to do, but they will not get you to heaven. It is only by faith in Jesus and Jesus himself. One of the things I did over Christmas was to reread John Bunyan's classic book, Pilgrim's Progress, and I fully and absolutely commend it to you. It's not always an easy read, but it is a fantastic read. The book, if you don't know it, is an allegory of Christian's life journey. And in it, the central character travels from the city of destruction through to the beautiful celestial city of God. And along the way, he has various experiences, and he encounters various other travellers, including two men called Formality and Hypocrisy. Bunyan was not subtle in the names that he gave his characters. But it becomes apparent that Formality and Hypocrisy didn't enter in through the narrow wicket gate or come by way of the cross. Rather, they climbed in from the side or tumbled over the wall, and they soon came to a dreadful end. Friends, if Jesus is the door, there is no other way, no other door of hope. You cannot get to heaven by climbing in over the wall. Let me say that again. You cannot get to heaven by climbing in over the wall. You can only come in through Jesus, the door. Faith in Christ is the only way. Jesus is the only door to life. I wonder if you've ever stopped to think about what the situation would be like if there was no door at all. What a dreadful contemplation that is. No access to God. Eternal and complete separation if there was no door. God shut in, as it were. And certainly, we can say, we shut out. Our sins an impassable and impenetrable barrier. God too holy even to look upon us and our evilness. The only prospect, a depraved life followed by eternal damnation and everlasting punishment and torment. How dreadful it would be if there was no door. But thank God, there is a door. It is Jesus. And the point I want to make is, it is Jesus personally. It's the Lamb of God, our Saviour, our Shepherd, our Friend, the glorious Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and yet the King who died on a cross for us. For all of us this morning, that door is right in front of us. The question is whether we come in, or will we just look at the door? Because just admiring Jesus from the outside, it's not enough. You need to come in through the door. Perhaps we're afraid to step through. Afraid of what we'll lose. Afraid of what might be the other side. There's no need for that. As one hymn writer puts it, God waits in grace, with hands outstretched to bless. Perhaps you'll mock it. Perhaps you'll ignore it. Perhaps you'll pretend it's not there. Perhaps assume that coming to church is enough. What is it, if it is, that's keeping you from stepping through the door? The door isn't grand. It's not intimidating. It's not locked. Jesus is inviting you in simplicity this morning to come to him, to come in through him, to be saved, to come in and go out, to find pasture, to have that experience now, whatever your circumstances, and never to lose it. Friends, I do trust there is nothing here that is holding you back from coming to that personal, wonderful relationship with Jesus in simplicity, and then enjoying the fullness of what God has in mind for you. Let's all come in through the only door and enjoy the safety, the certainty, and the enjoyment of knowing Jesus as Lord. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, as we come to you, we want to give you thanks that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that you are the door, you are the way in to the wonders of what God has in mind, into the presence of God himself, that we come in through you, Lord Jesus, into the wonderful presence of the King of the universe, and that we can sit there in enjoyment, enjoying the company of God. Lord Jesus, help us as we reflect on these things through the rest of this day to enjoy them and to be ready to go out in service to bring others into the joy and wonder of what it is to have a relationship with you. God and Father, as we come towards the close, we pray that you will bless our time together. Cause us to remember anything that is of you and to forget anything that isn't, for your own glory and for your own praise, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.